We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Richard Zwicky. And joining us today on High on Healthy, we have Dr. Mary Darden Robinson. Welcome aboard, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Mary, you're a psychologist. You're a teacher and a trainer of others as well. You've got quite a lot of training and background. Why don't you give us a little bit of your bio before I jump into some of the questions I put together today?
Absolutely. So I'm Dr. Mary Darden Robinson with a hyphenated last name. I like to usually just make it easy, so I just go by Dr. Mary to make it easy. I actually have over 20 years of experience, mental health and substance use, and I'm based in the Hampton Roads area. I'm really passionate about resilience as well as helping clients to identify strengths and protective factors that can support healthy lifestyles.
Yeah, and resilience is a key one for people as they're struggling with mental health issues and looking at different paths through finding resolution. And an interesting piece you wrote that I actually very recently was a comment I saw from you, which is, are you in a toxic diversity desert? And I've not seen that phrasing done, but it really is apt for an issue that runs into every workplace today, which is toxicity, but also the diversity desert and some of the challenges around that. Can you walk us through that a little?
Absolutely. So the diversity desert workspace was initially coined in volume one of Triumph in the Trenches, Navigating Success for Black Professionals, which I was a co-author on. And so essentially that item gave me an opportunity to kind of explore some experiences that I have recently had within my professional career, unfortunately, of being in a position where I'm used either as a mascot. So I'm hired in the space of an agency appearing to be diversity friendly when they're not, as well as having some of my thoughts and some of my works kind of hijacked. That's another thing that I mentioned in the book. So it's called Hijacking as well. And so
what's the title of the book?
It's called Triumph in the Trenches, Navigating Success for Black Professionals, Volume 1. There's actually a Volume 2 that's presently out, and there's going to be it's a trilogy. So there'll be one more volume. And so what my hope was with that chapter was to be able to provide some insight, some skills, as well as just to verify that, unfortunately, this does happen. And unfortunately, folks of color in workspaces can really have a hard time navigating, finding support, and successfully being able to identify their resilience and bounce back and move through situations like that.
Yeah, and that is, it is a tragic issue where, people turn their eyes towards diversity, but then instead of supporting the true growth of it, they use it just as a token item as opposed to uplifting people who have phenomenal skills and helping them apply them properly through productive means. I'm phrasing it poorly, but it is a challenge. And that goes to authenticity in the workplace, which we're hired into, but once you start peeling back the layers, they're not always what we expect.
Absolutely. And so that can be very taxing as a professional who helps people navigate life in general and different circumstances, from substance use to mental health to familial issues and strain, to experience that as a professional with the training that I do have and to have to learn to navigate that has been very eye-opening. Initially, it feels like you're by yourself. You're gaslit and told that it's not happening. And so there's a moment of clarity where you're like, no, this is actually happening. So my desire was to give a voice to others that have experienced very similar situations, as well as for allies to connect and be willing to not be in concert with anything that promotes a diversity desert, and instead look for opportunities to create a workspace that is healthy with regards to diversity, because everyone wins in that space.
Yeah, and you know, everybody wins is correct. And when you start experiencing that, and that's something which, you know, many people run into, it's not an isolated issue, but people struggle with knowing how to address it, what to do in that when they realize they're in that position, or when they start feeling the tension from it. What do you advocate?
Well, what I recommend and advocate is really to first be able to validate that it is happening, because like I said, that's one of the major pieces. Just the same way in mental health and substance use, acceptance is a really huge hill to climb. And until you get to that place where you accept and you start to decide, what do I do to support my resilience and to preserve myself? That's when it comes into looking for other folks that can be allies, as well as creating a community where you're feeling included and, you know, your ideas matter. And so the largest piece is really knowing how to create that for yourself, especially if it does not exist immediately. It's not obviously existing in your presence.
Yeah, and you're basically having to unlearn beliefs you have, but also reshape the beliefs of others, which is harder.
Absolutely. It is. Well, both of them are hard. I think I show up as a pretty eclectic individual, just to kind of give some insight. I have always been eclectic my entire life. If it is different, I'm usually interested. So from hair to nails to everything. And I've always been told if you did less, you would get further. And right. For too many years, I listened to that and realized I still wasn't happy. And so at that time, I had to have a talk with myself to understand that, hey, there's space for me. That was one of the reasons I have as many initials behind my name as I do. In high school, I was told that I'd never get one degree, which is how I ended up with all of these different things behind my name. And it took years until I realized why I was doing that. But it was always because I was constantly told, you'd be okay if you did less. And then as a therapist in my community, I realized there were so many people that would engage with me rather than other folks, because I was eclectic and I was different. And I supported them in that space and allowed them to be in the space of feeling unique while also feeling respected and letting them know that that's okay. There's space for that as well.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because one is eclectic and visibly stands out. It makes other people more comfortable opening up, because people tend to fear being judged when they open up. But if somebody's eclectic, they look at it with less barriers.
Absolutely. That has definitely been the experience. And because I also will engage people at the rate that's comfortable for them. So I'll have someone that comes in to meet with me, and I just go with broaching from the very beginning, which is calling out what I call the pink elephant, unicorn, whatever in the room. And right. So I usually start by just broaching and saying, okay, so this is probably an assessment that's going to be somewhat uncomfortable for you, but let me share with you who I am. And as we move through this, you can tell me you don't want to tell me, you don't feel comfortable. And usually that allows people to know that they have the right to feel how they feel. It's validation, you know, which is also very important.
It is extremely important. And there's the personal level, you know, there's a couple of different levels that, of course, going back to the topic which mentioned earlier about the diversity deserts in the workplace. In that circumstance, it's not just the individual, it's the group of individuals who are having to adjust and wanting to adjust and learn. As you go through that, like you have a consulting service that you work with organizations on. When do they call you in specifically? When are they aware, or they realize they have an issue, but they don't know what it is?
So I would say there's really two different areas. So in one circumstance, I was called into an organization to do an assessment. At that time, the assessment was, let us know if the service that we're providing is a service that's needed and if it we need to continue it, essentially. And so in doing this research, what I found was there were a few areas of opportunity for this particular company, which is a really large company, to provide services. However, what I found is even though that I was asked to do an assessment, it was to check off a box. So there wasn't really an investment in improving the service, and they ultimately closed down a service, and it was for youth. It was a pretty important service, but it was closed down within probably a few weeks of me leaving. And so there are times when people will ask me to come in to do assessments for their organization, and it could be for a lot of different things. It can be to see how their services are being received, to get client information, how clients think the service is. It can also be just, hey, can you help us to identify a protocol, or can you help us to figure out how we can have a larger stamp in the community? And so I have had experience where folks have called me in to do that assessment and actually utilize the information. However, more often than not, I found it's to check a box. Oh, well, leadership asked us to have a consultant come in, so we're going to make sure that we did that.
Isn't that the first test of toxicity if the management attitude is just, we're checking off the box?
Absolutely. Now, they, of course, don't tell me that up front, but
no,
I've been out here for so long, it is so easy to tell. Yeah. And so I can usually pretty much identify it. Now, in other circumstances, which are more interesting, I've been brought into roles where I've been hired, not as a consultant, but more in the space of providing oversight of programs. And so what it's been is, you know, I've been called in as a person that's going to provide leadership sorts of services. But I find out when I get there that it's really a rework, meaning the organization really requires a systematic review. And so I end up building programs from the ground up for organizations, just to kind of get them moving. And they're usually organizations that provide clinical services, whether mental health or substance use, to the community. But they don't say it's a startup. Instead, they say, oh, well, we just, you know, we'd like you to come on and do some management sort of things. And then I find out that there's a bait and switch. So from leadership and management, I end up becoming the therapist and providing the direct care. While that's a space that I'm very comfortable in, that's a space that I feel it's most important for you to know if that's the space that you're walking into. So I get a bait and switch quite regularly.
And that's got to be frustrating, because obviously you have a goal, which is as you're going in, and when that changes, it causes a review of the entire organization, but it also points to the dysfunction in an organization that whether they realize they're doing a bait and switch or not, they are self-identifying. They have a toxicity issue within the organization that has to be addressed. So they Absolutely. Called the right person, they just didn't call you for the right reason.
I will definitely agree with that, because at the end of the experience, I don't care how many times it's happened to me, I leave the place in a better space, but I usually realize that I'm called there because the clients need something.
Right.
And so when I get there and I'm in the space, because I think sometimes also leadership will wonder, well, if she's being a supervisor, does she know how to do the work?
Right.
They sometimes forget that I've done the work for over 20 years, so I know the work. I would like to be able to utilize some of the new skills that I have pertaining to projects and assessment and doing some of the background things to have a larger grasp and footprint in my community. So I love counseling. It's not, you know, it's not that, but at the same time, the bait and switch definitely can be very frustrating. And
yeah,
to navigate that is difficult.
Absolutely. And, you know, toxic workplaces are something which run rampant. 40% of all voluntary departures from organizations are due to stress and toxicity within the workplace. People who are looking to join organizations, what are the good, easy warning signs for them to look for to avoid those places?
So I think some of the warning signs, one is if you're invited to the table with no seat.
Right.
So what I mean by that is anytime you offer feedback or insight, if it's immediately dismissed, I think that's a really good indicator that there is likely some toxicity in the particular setting. I would also say one of the things, unfortunately, and I plan to write on this, that has happened to me is with the pursuing the terminal degree, it was on my bucket list. So I had decided that I was going to get a doctoral degree. But in completing the doctoral degree, what I did not realize is that that would cause so much negative experience for me. I had no idea about that. So what I mean by that is that you're not a medical doctor. So people will purposely not call me by my preferred name and engage in a way that's unprofessional. And it's so blatant that I have introduced myself to people in professional settings and said, hi, so I'm Dr. Mary, as long as the doctor is there, you know, and I'll go through my whole little spiel. And then the person says, hey, go get Mary to do XYZ.
Right.
And I'm like, but that's just as important as my pronouns. I explained to you that that's where the space that I'm in. And so I think being terminally degreed, if you are the unicorn in that office, meaning there is no one else that is degreed in that fashion, that can also be a red flag because it can make you a center of a point or an individual that gets focused on. So because I have that education, I've been in situations where people have purposely attempted to act like I don't have that education, which goes to the gaslighting and some of the other things that I share in volume one of Triumph in the Trenches. So definitely if you're one of the unicorns or there's not also an investment, the third piece I would say, if there's not an investment in career growth and also leading and lifting while you lead and offering opportunities and positions for folks to move up and for them to continue their education, that's another red flag, that I would definitely coin and point out.
Yeah, that absolutely would be. I mean, when people disregard your, you know, you reference pronouns, when they disregard your preferred way of being addressed, it is, when it's overtly done, it is toxic. Mm-hmm. And it's an attempt to demean, but it reflects the individual's own insecurities and unresolved issues more than anything else in many ways. And it points to them needing help and assistance, because you don't try and demean somebody else except to trying to elevate yourself because you're insecure.
Exactly.
And that's
something. So those are a few of those red flags.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's something which a lot of people run into in organizations and in families and in daily life. And it's one which each time it happens, you as the individual who is not respected for who you are is required to show your own resilience, to demonstrate it to yourself. And that can be, I know, incredibly frustrating and challenging on so many levels. But looking at it purely from the professional perspective, it's something which you need to overcome every day, one after the other. And so do the people around you, because everybody else sees it. And how does that tie into, let's say, you know, the profiles, and as you're helping the people around you, how do you help build people shift those profiles and those perspectives?
Well, it's not. So one of the things that I'm cautious to do is not to accept other people's narrative associated with me.
Right.
And so I'm actually, I do a lot of training surrounding that. And also helping other folks to be able to embrace that as well, because as an African-American psychologist, there's less than 5% of us out here. And so with that being the case, I am somewhat of a unicorn in a good way, I'd like to think. But it allows me also to have conversation with clients about resilience from a place of something that I've already worked through. So, for instance, one of the ways that I realized why I was chasing all of these degrees and things was through EMDR. EMDR really helps you to reprocess traumatic events and to walk through it in a way where you can have a, you know, significant decline in symptomology. And so I signed myself up for a course and I was like, this is going to be great. I can use this with clients.
Right.
And it was a pretty costly course. And I walk in and the first thing that they say, it was actually remote, but I'd show up for the training. The first thing they say is, we're going to help you to actually work through one of your own traumas. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't sign up for that. That's not what I thought I was doing here. But in having that experience, it has allowed me when I'm working with clients that are trying to work through trauma based on childhood, based on abuse, whatever that looks like, I can come from a place of using my experience in a way that is so incredibly important that it allows that client to realize that resilience happens every day and that they have it in them. It's just about rediscovering it. So the, another way that I take that is even when I'm training and I'm training clinicians to become independent, like a LPC or able to practice by themselves, one of the things that I do is I talk about the space of understanding resilience. Most of the time when you go for a conference, people will talk about all of the problems and everything is doom and gloom. But if I'm going to talk about doom and gloom, I'm also going to be cautious to talk to clients and other professionals about resilience. You can't talk about one without the other.
You can't. And, you know, I do strongly believe you can't have proper empathy if you don't address what you've gone through, at least internally, because you require that knowledge and understanding and acceptance of yourself to be able to really accept and understand and listen, to be able to listen thoroughly to what somebody is approaching you with.
Absolutely. So that going back to your question, the first thing is not accepting someone else's narrative. And so the second step I would say is also making sure that you're doing good self-care, because being in a toxic environment every day for more hours than you spend with your family is a lot.
It is.
And so, yeah.
And unfortunately, really for many, the toxicity also is at home.
That is true as well.
Right. Because some of you get into bad relationships. There were relationships that become bad over time, and stepping back to understand that toxicity sometimes is, it's not just one, it's everybody involved.
Absolutely. And knowing that you have to schedule the same way you schedule appointments for your kids or for yourself, for your, you know, your pet, you have to schedule self-care time in your day. So I have clients a lot of the times that will say, oh, I don't have time to do that. Okay, so you have a 10-minute car ride. What can we do in 10 minutes? Well, in 10 minutes, we could do some guided meditation. In 10 minutes, we could review some other healthy recovery-oriented coping skills. So it's really just, you know, being able to make sure that clients prioritize themselves. And if I'm speaking to other professionals, that we do the same. I think the unique part of my experience is that people would expect working in a helping field that people would treat you better. And that is just not what I found, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, and it is ironic in its own, you know, the way, and it's terrible. So, Mary, we are running low on time, or almost out of time. People who want to learn more about your practice, your approach, and how it benefits them and their organizations, they can pick up the book Triumph in the Trenches. Where?
So I have actually a website is Creative Therapy Approaches, and it's located in Hampton, Virginia. They can find the book. There's a link on my website to actually order the book, and they can learn more about what services I provide so far as the consulting and the training. I actually am also on Instagram and TikTok. And on Instagram, it's I Go By Doctor with the doctor spelled out. And then on TikTok, it is I Go By Doctor, but the doctor is just the DR.
And for anybody listening, the website is creativetherapyconsultingllc.com. And as Dr. Mary just mentioned, the Instagram is I Go By Doctor, as is the TikTok. On Instagram, doctor is fully spelled out. And on TikTok, it is the abbreviation of DR. Dr. Mary, thank you very much for joining us today on High on Healthy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Richard, and hopefully we can have further conversation.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you to everybody for listening. I'm Richard Zwicky, and we'll be back again with you soon.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady, something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.